I mean, I'm looking at one of the greatest fighters in UFC history, and that's still a thing, Kamaru Usman, but you've been very, very quiet on the build to Saturday's UFC 286 trilogy with Leon Edwards for the title, England, all that stuff. I've known this game long enough that there's a few out there that silence speaks louder than any words. What's behind that?
Yeah, it's just me really understanding that, and I watched it. I've said before, I believe I was classically trained for this. Being able to shadow guys like Sugar Rashad Evans and all of these top guys in the sport, to where I understand that once you become the champion, once you're defending and you're just that figure, a lot of noise comes with it. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of things being decided. You got to go to this event, that event, pulled into this interview, that interview. And it's a lot of noise that starts to cloud, you know, the journey. It starts to cloud the you know, it's just a lot of noise. And when I've said before that it was almost kind of a relief, is it silenced all of that. You know, all the people that were jumping on the ship and making the ship very, very heavy and making it slower than it needed to go, you know, kind of now jumped off. And I love that, because now it gave me a time to really enjoy this sport again. And I enjoyed the times of just, you know, me and my daughter driving to the gym and back every day, to gym and back, gym and back. And I got a sense of that again. And it's just basically the lion that's brewing. And now that's what the case was before I faced Tyron Woodley. And I got a taste of that this camp. So I'm excited, and I just can't wait to this Saturday for the world to see what I've been in the lab doing.
Well, look, you know, we've all marveled on this end that, like, you know, I think it's important when you call out a great loser in a big moment, just the same as somebody, you know, winning in such humble, inspirational fashion, which we see a lot in this game. You know, Juliana Pena gets Amanda Nunes, and it's like, man, that's the human spirit. But the human spirit is on the other side too. And I don't feel like you handled that any better in terms of your responses, your level-headedness. So you've had that apprenticeship of like you said, behind some of those who prepared for you, but you're also human. So how hard was the stripping of that invincibility, even in advance of preparing for it? Because if you throw your heart into something, which you have to this profession, there's going to be trauma, you know, when things don't go your way. It's natural.
Yeah, it's very natural. Like I said, I've just been blessed to be able to do and witness certain things that have prepared me for this moment. You know, I've been in over 200-300 amateur wrestling matches, to where sometimes you're in a tournament and you have 5, 6, 7 matches in order to be able to be the champion of that tournament, or unable to be able to get on the award stand and get third place. And, you know, sometimes that first match of the day, boom, you get knocked out of the championship side, you lost. Now you have to battle all the way back in the consolation side to potentially get that third place medal. And I've been classically trained for that. I've been doing that since I was 13 years old. And so, you know, this is no different. We saw the first time. This is not my first loss in MMA. We saw what happened after that first loss. I went on, a 14, 15 fight win streak. And so it's just, if anything, it's like poking the bear or poking the lion. He just went over there and he poked the lion and woke the lion up. And now it's time for me to turn around and roar and let everybody know that I'm still here in that room.
All right. How much have you used the tape of that fight for motivation? Is it better for you to, hey, I lived it, I know what happened, let's move on? Or have you gone back and rewatched it painstakingly to rebuild that roar inside you?
No, of course I've watched it a couple of times, just mistakes and seeing where I was making mistakes and where I wasn't as strong and it wasn't as tight. And I think there was a couple of spots in the fight where I was kind of lackadaisical. And I just need to correct that, because I know when a stingy Usman in the fight is a very, very dangerous Usman. So that's all I need to be. I need to go in there, be stingy, be mindful of everything that I'm doing. All I have to do is be present for 25 minutes and new again.
Look, they always say when you're on top for a while, and you know, you the win streak, the title, the five title defenses, the pound for pound kingship, you know, movie roles. Congratulations. I mean, you were on top, very top. It's hard because the fall can be big there. We've seen you've got the preparations there, but so many people are going to be focused on how you mentally and physically respond to that in the cage come Saturday night in this trilogy bout. So it seems like you're doing great. And I applaud that huge. In terms, though, is there any receipt from the loss? Is there anything you had to overcome? Or was it like night and day? I'm back at it. I'm unplugging. I'm resetting. We're coming back after it.
Yeah, I was. It's weird. It was almost like on a ride to the hospital that night. I was already over it. I was over it. And like I said, when you feel that sense of relief, it's just like all the expectations, all the this and every... always was almost like you just hear it all quiet down, and it makes it for the sport fun for me. You know, the sport wasn't necessarily as fun with all the noise. Like I love the position and you know, the position that I ascended to. I loved it and I appreciate it because I know that's what comes when you really put in the work like I did over the years. But it wasn't necessarily as fun as the journey. It wasn't necessarily as fun. When I was fighting Tyron Woodley, I was still able to go to LA Fitness or something like that, yeah. and just hot tub and just sit in the hot tub, and it's just me and maybe like, you know, some middle-aged, you know, two or three middle-aged women that are just there, just like, hey, what are you doing? And, you know, and that was okay. And then you ascend to this place where you can't necessarily leave your house or go certain places without someone bothering you for this and that, which, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just right. that becomes noise. And with this, it just kind of silenced that a little bit. So I'm grateful. But if people speak about, oh man, that might leave a receipt or trauma or this and that in your head, I sense where they're coming from when they're speaking about ordinary people. I sense that, you know.
I think that's right.
When you speak about ordinary people, they're like, oh, okay, that could happen. But I think it's my job on Saturday to show them, Leon, and the rest of the world, that I am extraordinary. I am not ordinary.
Like, you looked super extraordinary on the road to get to this point, and you're right. When you look back at the ones that are your contemporaries in terms of the direction your career path is heading in terms of all time, you know, legacy, GSP repaired that mistake against Matt Serra, you know, Amanda Nunes just repaired that against Pena. It's sort of expected if you're above that ilk, but I want to ask you specifically about how you prepare for this trilogy from this standpoint. When you're on top for so long, there's a lot of tape of you. There's a lot of time for others to really pick apart every motion, mannerism. We just saw Valentina lose her title, making one mistake. We saw Adesanya in the final round. We saw you. Is that almost a burden where it's like you've got to evolve at such a quick, fast pace that there could never be stagnancy?
Yeah. See, the thing with that is it's, you know, that I'm glad you asked that question. The thing with that is, yes, you have a ton of tape and all these fighters or all these people have those tapes to watch and study and try to defeat you with what they've studied. If they're able to do that, if they have the ability to study your tape and go out there and shut everything down and do that, they're the better fighter. They deserve to be champion anyways. You can't stop it. If they have the ability to trump what they see on tape, they're the better fighter anyways. Now, the problem is you can watch as much tape as you want to. A lot of people can see me and say, oh, wow, he has a decent gas tank. But until you are locked in that cage with me and you actually feel that, you have no idea. This individual has felt it twice and he has melted twice. So he's shown me nothing to let me believe that he's a better mixed martial artist than I am, besides one Hail Mary in the fifth round.
Well, look, rounds 2 through 4.5 of your rematch, they tell that story. I think it's why you open up here as the betting favorite, whether that matters or not. But do you feel a push to change too much entering the third fight? Where do you and the coaches sort of settle on that?
No, it's just a matter of me taking into account what the coaches would like for me to do to win the fight. There's a clear-cut way to win the fight. But me being the competitor that I am, I sometimes I'm a bit hard-headed to where I want to do it my way. I want to break them my way. I want to potentially finish them my way. Like with all that happened with the George Masvidal the first time and all that I had to deal with and dealing with being injured and then flying 4 days all the way across the world to Abu Dhabi, not sleeping, under quarantine, making weight, and then having to go out there and fight him early in the morning. With all of that, I still overcame and won that fight unanimously. But with that, I was unhappy. I was unhappy with that. And I think there was a video and that I saw later on that they took backstage, just really showing how unhappy I was with that. That's why I asked for that fight again. I asked for it again because I put in so much time to preparation for these fights and I go through the ringer. So when I get out there, I want to leave it all out there.
Sure.
I want to die by that sword. And hey, this is be no different. You know, that's why I'm hoping that on Saturday, I'm going to be of sound mind to be able to take into the account of what my company, my coach, everyone is giving me. And also keeping my mind and spirit in check to where I go out there and I do it not only flawlessly, but as violently as I want to.
Look, Kamaru, you had one of the greatest stretches the sport's ever seen. The 5 title defenses, the pound for pound number one. It was incredible. The legacy, where you're knocking, right? You were one away from tying Anderson Silva's vaunted win streak record in the UFC. Do you need this win in your own personal opinion to fulfill the legacy you're trying to do for your own competitiveness, for your family, for what you're trying to leave behind? And I know a lot of times guys say, oh, I don't think about that. I don't look at pound for pound. I don't care. I'll care when I'm 75 years old sitting by the fire, right? Maybe. Do you need this win to be who you're trying to tell everybody you are?
I think I need this win in a different sense. I as far as what I've done in the sport, I've done that. It's not going anywhere. It's not changing. It's not going to be erased in any way, shape, form, or fashion. That's already there. But I need this one because I just put in so much time in this training camp. I took beatings from all my teammates, all my training partners, beatings from guys like Justin Gaethje and all these other guys. When you go through that and having to get up and eat this and go to the gym and work out and come back and do physical therapy, eat that, go to the gym, come back, do, and I just do that time and time and time and time again. I need this to let me know that, hey, that was okay. It was worth it. I need this for that. And most importantly, I need this because I find myself in a place of when you've kind of done it all, you kind of have to seek and pivot and find new motivation and new ways to really satisfy the hunger that you crave. And I find myself in a position to where I need this to truly motivate the world, and not just the world, but most importantly, my daughter. And when you're raising a child, I need this to let her know that it's okay to stumble and fall sometimes and what you're doing in life, but you have to get back up and you have to give it some effort. So I need this for all of that. And after Saturday night, when I am victorious, you know, the world will know that it's okay to stumble and fall, but you can get back up and get back on that horse and still get to that destination.
Great answer. That's a fantastic answer. It's the best one you probably, you know, could have worked up, and it feels real in that regard. The pound for pound conversation changed a little bit in your absence from the last fight to this one. Were you focused on that? Do you care whether the public thinks it's Islam, whether the public thinks it's Volkanovski or John Jones returning, or hey, you win back this championship on Saturday, you might be the best in the sport after that. Any comments on that, or is that just all extra?
It is extra. You know, it's I guess it's a conversation piece. It's a cool conversation to have, you know, to say, oh yeah, that's the pound for pound champion. But you know, it is what it is. With guys like John Jones there, it's a hard conversation to have. But at the end of the day, being a welterweight champion of the world, to myself, my family, and my daughter, you know, that means the world to me. And this Saturday, we're going to definitely be saying that.
Impactful stuff to close here. Lighthearted stuff here. Saw you in Wakanda Forever, and it was awesome. Okay, you may have gotten snubbed on the Oscars Best Supporting Actor voting. It's possible, but is that a pinch me moment? What is that? I mean, you could play cool and be like, "Man, I'm Kamaru Usman." You know, this happens, but it doesn't really always happen. And oh, by the way, like, pretty damn good in that role too. When you're watching that premiere in the theater, you got to be thinking back to being, you know, that little kid. You know, I mean, that's insanity, right?
It is, but the weird thing now is I'm having so many moments thrown at me in life to where it's like, I don't fully grasp them all. I don't fully indulge in them. I think that's just the way I'm wired, is what's next. You know, after a title defense, what's next? What's next? What's next? You know, so I remember watching the movie the first time, the first one, and thinking how big, how impactful this was.
Sure.
How amazing. Man, I would love to be a part of something like that. 3-4 years later, I'm in the movie. I'm sitting there in the premiere watching it, and it's almost like, is that me? Is that so where I still don't feel like I'm fully grasping that. And so I think obviously because of that and the fight and all of that thing kind of maybe pulled that away, you know, from that, pulled away from that a little bit. But I think maybe in the next coming years, it's really going to sink in how incredible of a life I've lived and how impactful it is.
And whether we'll add 2-time welterweight champion on the end of that. Kamaru, a pleasure to chat with you. Appreciate the candidness. Best of luck to you in this trilogy fight. We can't wait.
Thank you so much.